Eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, neither has there entered into the minds of men the things which God has prepared for those who love him. For he who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? He has done exceedingly abundantly beyond all we could ever ask or think, for we have the mind of Christ. First of all, we'll look at 1 Samuel 7:3. Little bit of review until we get caught up and continue our study today. This is going to be a forced march today in order to finish our Veterans Day special. We'll pause for a few moments of silent prayer for rebound if necessary, and to make whatever mental attitude adjustments are required for concentration upon our study this morning. Shall we pray? Father, we are grateful to you for allowing us the privilege of studying your word. And we're grateful for the fact that we can extract concepts that go back thousands of years that we find applicable to our very hour. And it's our prayer as we move through this study this morning that the applications of these things will become evident and that we might find our very certain place in your perfect plan, the requirements that are placed upon us in this dark hour of our client nation. And we lift our prayer to these ends in Christ's name. Amen. We have noticed that Solomon, I always want to call these guys by S names. I've called him Samson, I think, on one occasion. But let's just back up and say that his name is Samuel. Maybe I call him Sam, it would be better. But Samuel spoke to the house of Israel, saying in 1 Samuel 7:3, if you return to the Lord with all your heart, remove the foreign gods and the Ashtaroth from among you, and direct your hearts to the Lord and serve him alone, he will deliver you in the hand of the Philistines. So the sons of Israel removed the Baals and the Ashtaroth and served the Lord alone. If the glory of God is to remain in America, and if the faded glory of our client nation is to be refreshed, then we must continue our advance and invite others to join us in that pursuit. This is a tall order today. The historical trends have moved way too far for human viewpoint problem-solving devices to work. We're even to the point where the laws of divine establishment must work in a negative way. And we are seeing that play out in our society today. It has even affected globally. The end game has to do with Jesus Christ restoring order in the client nation. You are the ones who assemble here, who have the inventory of ideas to survive this. But there will be many who do not have the orientation of soul to do this. There are young people in this congregation today that are going to have to lead us out of this darkness. The problem is that the young people of today primarily, not the ones who gather here, but in our society, primarily the people of 30 years of age and younger are disoriented to reality. They have no clue about solutions with regard to economics, with regard to our culture and its stability. We are a superpower that has a superpower facade, but we're really embarking on being a third world country. And this is going to play out over the course of the next several months. We have an obligation, though. It is our obligation before God to display and demonstrate and to disclose the light of the Word of God to the citizens of this devil's world who, because of their unbelief, have acquired attitudes that sponsor ethical and social behaviors contrary to the divine standards that result in moral corruption and in confusion. And we, therefore, are the lights of the world, and we hold fast the word of life, and therefore we're the ones who have the responsibility of standing fast. I want to, in our quick review here, remind you of comments made by Cicero in his Republic. This goes back better than two millennia, and his comments that are found in the Republic, you will find, are very pertinent to today's zeitgeist. He writes that neither men alone nor customs alone could ever have been sufficient to found or to preserve so long a commonwealth whose dominion extends so far and wide, speaking of the Roman Empire. Thus, before our own time, the customs of our ancestors produced excellent men, and eminent men preserved our ancient customs and the institutions of our forefathers. In other words, the culture was passed down from generation to generation. But though the Republic, when it came to us, that's his current generation, was like a beautiful painting, whose colors, however, were already fading with age, our own time not only has neglected to freshen it by renewing the original colors, but has not even taken the trouble to preserve its configuration and, so to speak, its general outlines. For what is now left of the ancient customs on which the Commonwealth of Rome was founded firm, they have been so completely buried in oblivion that they are not only no longer practiced, but are already unknown. And that's the problem we face today. The culture that established our freedom is no longer even understood. And what shall I say of the men? For the loss of our customs is due to our lack of men. And for this great evil, we must not only give an account, but must even defend ourselves in every way possible as if we were accused of a capital crime. For it is through our own faults, not by any accident, that we retain only the form of the Commonwealth, but have long since lost its substance. Substance is one of the English words that describes the glory of a client nation. And both Israel and America have enjoyed periods of substance, meaning wealth and prosperity and greatness. Both have built structures of extreme beauty and glamour. Both have developed military organizations that have been victorious in battle and defense of liberty. And both have enjoyed the talents and the abilities and the production of an intelligent and energetic people. And both have benefited from the riches of free enterprise. All of the various factors that make up a nation's glory come from the possession of assets and virtues. These are transformed into visible manifestations of a nation's corporate soul, which manifests its dependence upon and confidence in the God of the universe. We have extracted God from our society, and it shows. And we must ultimately pay the price for this if order is to be restored. Great weight and substance and responsibility thus fall upon our nation. But the greatest weight and substance and responsibility belongs to the Creator of all things, Jesus Christ. And when we do not maintain biblical order, meaning the laws of divine establishment, then He will restore order since He controls history. I've been braying about this for 7 years, but now we have come down to the reality of it all. You as a congregation are prepared for this. And if you flag under pressure, then you're not worth your salt, referencing Matthew 5:13. So it's only by the salt of the people, which means those who have the power of soul, the power to concentrate under pressure and to make good decisions relying upon Jesus Christ as our preserver, only those can endure the coming days. The glory of God comes from the fact that He is Creator. And He takes responsibility of all that is His, which is referred to in Scripture as tapanta, all things. This nation belongs to Him. The people in it belong to Him. He is in charge of all things, and He will restore order. He has provided us all that we need, therefore, to discover Him. You can discover Christ through many avenues, primarily, of course, the gospel. It is provided in this country. To know Him, the power of the Holy Spirit to instruct the believer in the Word of God, you can come to know Christ. To serve Him, the objective of knowing Christ is to serve Christ. Learning how to do that requires intensive Bible study. And when we learn His policies and His mandates and His plan, we ultimately, gradually acquire His glory within our souls. Glory has weight. It has substance. And with that, we become the power that holds the community together, invisibly so. And this is how we glorify God. And when we do, He honors us with blessings and rewards in both time and eternity. And this is the process and procedure that we must follow and ultimately achieve if the United States is to avoid the disgrace of encountering its own Ichabod, meaning the glory is gone. Now, the answer lies in positive volition, doctrine, in the streams of consciousness, and the power of the Holy Spirit functioning within the souls of those who gather in this place. Personal problems must now be put aside. Petty issues must now be put to rest. It is time for you to get serious about the Word of God and applying its problem-solving devices to your life and to seek to serve God in such a fashion and in such a way that the glory shows in your life. Your problems are insignificant and petty by comparison to what you're about to face. And it's time to get serious if you hadn't already decided to do so. Leadership in this country has reached an all-time low. The people who run the country are corrupt. Each and every one to a man and to a woman. The people who have put them in power are divorced from reality. We have corrective processes in our Constitution that could bring this to heel, and we don't have the courage to use the very principles the Constitution gives us to restore order. Therefore, Christ will see to it. You do not want to buck the system, but we've done it wholesale. Can't get away with that forever. We've reached the end of the line. And you think that I am a voice shouting in the wilderness, overstating the fact? I am not. The problems facing this country cannot be resolved, with one exception. Jesus Christ controls history. We must fulfill the root meaning of kavod, to make weighty, to honor God is to give Him the weight due Him and to acknowledge Him and His deity. And as we learn from the study of God's dealings with Israel in the time of Eli the high priest, this honor can be reciprocal. 1 Samuel 2:30. Therefore, the Lord God of Israel declares, I did indeed say that your house, meaning Eli's, and the house of your father, Ithamar, should walk before me forever. But now, the Lord declares, far be it from me, for those who honor, kaveth, who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me, bazah, in other words, with contempt, will be lightly esteemed, meaning they will be demoted. And too many who express contempt lead to national decline, but a growing number who express reciprocity will be honored by the restoration of a protective wall of fire around the entire country. Zechariah 2:4 is where that term originates. It reads this way. This is the New American Standard. Jerusalem will be inhabited without walls. Now, in those days, you needed a wall around your city in order to prevent people from just marching down Main Street. And so the wall was a protective barrier. But Jerusalem, in the time of our Lord, will be without walls because of the multitude of men and cattle within it. For I, declares the Lord, will be a wall of fire around her, and I will be the glory in her midst. And when the glory is in Jerusalem, then there is no Ichabod in Israel. That will be the day when Jesus Christ returns and establishes His millennial kingdom based in Jerusalem. He will be the Shekinah glory residing between the cherubs. There will be no need for a wall around Jerusalem. There is no need for a wall around a client nation. And do you realize that some people have recommended that we build walls on our borders? Why would they do that? because we are ceasing to be a client nation. There's such thing, by the way, as a California, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas National Guards, who were given power to the states by the Constitution to protect its borders. They haven't done it. So they build walls. We ignore the Constitution. We ignore our culture. We ignore our people. We've ignored every aspect of running a country logically, correctly, and wisely. And we're now being overrun by people who should not be here. And don't you think that I'm opposed to immigration. You go through the system. Go through the system. Get your papers. Hold up your hand in a courthouse and swear allegiance to the Constitution of the United States, and you may be a citizen of this country. The phrase "wall of fire" actually refers to the protection provided by Jesus Christ of His client nation Israel. The phrase looks this way, transliterated from the Hebrew. Koma Esh. It is translated a wall of fire. Koma refers to a fortified wall around a city. Its etymology goes back to an old South Arabic word meaning to protect or to defend. And so obviously that wall is designed as a part of a city's defense. In the metaphor of Zechariah 2:5, the Lord promises Jerusalem that He will personally protect her as if she were defended by an outer wall of fire. He is the wall of fire. There's not a wall around Jerusalem, not in this context. The wall of fire is invisible. It's as if Jerusalem was sitting here as a city, and where previously there was a wall, there is no wall. But there's an invisible wall of fire. Nobody can get to Jerusalem. They can't get through this invisible barrier. The Lord will not permit it. And such is the case for all client nations. There is an invisible wall of fire around this country. But do you know what? After you drift away from the standards that established your society as a free nation, and you drift away from those through corruption, degeneracy, deceit, when this occurs on a broad scale within the society and especially within the government, then that wall of fire, which is invisible, has to be demonstrated that it has been lifted. And that occurred on 11 September of 01, that this should not happen to a client nation, yet it did. Now you have to go through your thought process and ask yourself the question, how on earth could the United States of a client nation have suffered someone penetrating its wall of fire? How can this happen if we truly are a client nation moving forward in the service of God? And I'm telling you, it cannot happen unless that wall of fire is lifted. And especially considering this, that those who penetrated or came through underneath as it was lifted, sons of Hagar, the greatest insult that this country could receive is that those who did penetrate were the sons of Hagar. And that is the eye-opener. Now, is that wall of fire still in place? I submit to you it is not. I submit to you there's a fifth column in this country that is going unnoticed, uncontrolled. That fifth column is going to gradually but surely gain continued impact and influence within our society with the goal and objective of establishing Sharia law. And we're doing nothing about it. You like multiculturalism and diversity? You're about to get some. There's a wall of fire, and it needs to be replaced. The word fire, by the way, that's ish, is used figuratively for the Lord's presence. For example, the burning bush the pillar of fire, the Shekinah glory. These are examples of the Esh, the fire that represents Jesus Christ. It is also used figuratively as an instrument of divine power employed in the protection of His people. In Zechariah 2:5, we see both applications. First of all, the Lord promises to be a divine wall of fire that consumes all who might challenge the peace of Jerusalem. Secondly, He promises to be present in the capital city in the form of the Shekinah glory. Wherever the glory is, there is divine protection. Where is the glory to be located in client nation America? We have no tabernacle. There's no Ark of the Covenant with a mercy seat on top, guarded by the two angels representing righteousness and justice, between whom the Shekinah glory dwells. We don't have that. You are the temple of the living God. Do you not know that you are the temple of God? Do you not know that the Word of God in your soul that is inculcated there by the power of the Holy Spirit turns your soul not only into a temple, but also the residence of the Shekinah glory? And do you not understand that the more people that have that residence up and functional, have that invisible historical impact that preserves this country, provides your prosperity, your assets in order to function in a free society? When the glory is gone, when people suffer Ichabod of soul, and that is a gradual process over a 40-year period of propaganda that removes and sucks the glory out of the souls of men. What is left in the client nation to sustain it? It happens to be the few in the pivot who remain, and I'm talking to the members of this church and those who gather here. I wish I was eloquent as William Wallace, and I could ride in here on a horse. I could prance around through the front here and give you my big speech about how we need to beat the British back. And then shout freedom so that it echoes off the moors. But to Joe Henry's regret, I am not Mel Gibson. But I'm trying to get across to you this great responsibility that is imposed upon you in this hour. And I've been hammering on this since August the 17th. This church is hallowed ground. This is the place where things happen in an invisible way. This is where exoterike harmonia must come to fruition. This is where momentum must occur. And this is where courage must lead the way. You cannot flag. You cannot hesitate. You cannot entertain weakness. There must be a march forward, spiritually speaking, without any diversion or distractions from petty issues. And if you are so distracted, then you are one of the problems that face the country. In Zechariah 2:5, we see these two applications. The divine wall of fire supplied by Christ and the residence of the glory. The Lord's promise is to be a protective wall of fire, and the glory in the midst, the kavod of millennial Jerusalem, and may be used to describe divine protection and blessing for any client nation. And this very same concept can be used to illustrate divine protection of client nations in the church age. The wall of fire is impenetrable unless the Lord Himself decides to lift that barrier. It is a barrier of protection as a part of national discipline to a client nation when it is lifted. When it is lifted, it is an alert to all who have the wisdom to discern it that we have gone astray. And those who missed it 7 years ago remain confused about how to deal with it. And that means our government. We went after the enemy in Afghanistan. And by the way, I got an email from Mark Davey the other day from Afghanistan. And I was going to read it here this morning. But Jill, I must tell you, I tried my best to fix that email to where I could read it to the congregation on a Sunday morning, and I just couldn't. It was more like, hi guys, and keep the faith, Mark. Everything else in between was just colorful. But let it be said that Mark Davy is a front ranker, promikos, with a sense of humor, and with deadly aim. And it's because of men like Mark Davy and Mike Weber and Tyler Risty and others of their ilk that are the promikoi, the front rankers, that we can sit back and salute and say, thank you, Jesus, that those guys are on our side. I submit that the glory is literally in the midst of a client nation when enough believers have made the advance to the sophisticated spiritual life. When enough. You see, when the pivot shrinks, you see these things happening. Enough. See, when there's not enough, then corrective measures underway within the plan of God. Jesus Christ controls history through the laws of divine establishment. The wrath of men praise him. Men who have gone astray are going to see the power of Jesus Christ exact discipline on this client nation, and they will suffer to a great degree because they have rejected the love of God through Christ. They have rejected his leadership through Bible study. They have condemned those who study it and profess it, and they are the ones who are going to have the comeuppance. And we must stand fast, as we'll note before we're done today. I submit that the glory is literally in the midst of a client nation when enough believers have made the advance to the sophisticated spiritual life. That's the objective. That's the goal. It's done here. It's done invisibly. And Jesus Christ takes care of the details. And when this pivot is strong, then the Lord's glory resides in the client nation, and his wall of fire cannot be penetrated by predator nations. Good, wise decisions based on the laws of divine establishment could correct the problems we face within a year. But we're not going to do it because the people who run the country are vacuous of thought. You cannot be a politician today and subscribe to the laws of divine establishment. It is not possible, for you would not be elected. And if you were somehow elected and sought to impose these things or recommend them or suggest them in the halls of Congress, you would be hooted out. However, we have also learned that when the pivot is weak, the glory remains among believers, but the client nation becomes accountable to the cycles of discipline, and I submit to you we're in the third. As the fourth cycle arrives, there's the occupation of the land by predator nations. And this means that in order for this to occur, the wall of fire must be lifted to allow the insurgents inside the gates. We learned on September 11th that the Lord permitted the sons of Hagar to penetrate the defenses of Fortress America. There was something desperately wrong with this country when that day arrived. Desperately wrong. And nobody got the message. Not enough, anyhow. No one in the government got the message. Yeah, there's a big try. There was a big try. And we went after the bad guys in Afghanistan. We went after the bad guys in Iraq. And we're going after the bad guys in surreptitious ways elsewhere. But how about the bad guys that are here? We're giving them Sharia law. That multiculturalism says they're okay. Just come in. Come on in. It's okay. We just blend in. Be a fish. Such a circumstance is brought about by a widespread rejection of establishment order by the general population and a loss of doctrinal order by believers. If churches today, whether up on the stage tooting their horns and beating their drums and picking their guitars, singing these praise songs about what they're going to do. I praise God, and I do this, and I do that. Praise songs. What about that? How about what God has done? It's what God has done, not what you're doing. Maybe they're not happy what God's doing. They get involved more than God will pick up the pace. What's the preacher going to do this morning? He's going to read two or three verses out of Matthew or John. He'll make 3 points and give you a prayer, and then it'll be 20 minutes done. And don't tell me I don't know, because you go to these places, because you visit your families and they haul you off to them, and you come back in and tell me. And you tell me what you see. Now, that's all fine. That's called free exercise. We're not down in that. I'm just telling you why are we where we are. It's because the pastors are allowing road shows to come into the church. In other words, rather than paying the price to go to the pageant, rather than paying the price to go to the Fox or Powell Hall or any other venue in town where entertainers come and perform for a price, we come into the churches for free. It's an entertainment venue where it ought to be a rostrum from which the Word of God is preached intensively, in detail, categorically, dispensationally, day after day after boring, boring day. People don't want to be bored. This is the house of boredom. I intend for you to be bored. That's my job. I love it. I love it when I look out there and I see people drifting off asleep. I say, well, one down, about another 16 to go. The Lord will once again lower His wall of fire protection around the United States of America if believers do their duty. We'll see your duty before the day's done. If I have to keep you here till 1 o'clock, we're doing this today. You say, well, shut up and move on. Believers in spiritual maturity must hold the high ground while the rest maintain the double column advance by means of spiritual growth and reciprocity. You cannot love God until you learn who He is, and that requires spiritual growth. Otherwise, who's God? God, 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 God. So what? Who is He? Everybody's got a God. Ashtaroth, your God? Baal. How about Baal is a God? Gold. Silver. What? Who's God? Well, He's a guy in the Bible. What do you know about Him? He's powerful. He's from heaven. Great. Who is He? What are His attributes? What is His plan? What is your place in the plan? What does He expect of you? And how does that thing function? Functions on grace. You're part of a system. The grace system has incorporated you at the moment you believed in Christ through faith alone. Now you're in a plan. Now you're in an invisible war. And you have the option of betraying Christ and going to the dark side. Or to move forward in that conflict with the power of the Word of God in your soul as your artillery. You cannot be defeated with that artillery. You cannot be defeated. But it is a hard slug to get to the point to where you have the confidence and courage to keep moving. Believers in spiritual maturity must hold the high ground while the rest maintain the double column advance by means of spiritual growth and reciprocity. Reciprocity is personal love for God that is elicited by a knowledge of who He is. You can't know that until you study the Word and find out about Him. The glory of God is still among us in the form of His immutable Word. Believers are privileged to inculcate the Word into their souls and become repositories of the glory of God. A repository. And that's the Word in your soul, circulating up and running. Got to have it in the soul, and it has to be functional for you because you're positive to that inventory. The Holy Spirit, therefore, will give you guidance on the application. And that's when it becomes powerful. Otherwise, no. The glory of God is still among us in the form of His immutable Word. Believers are privileged to inculcate that Word into their souls and become repositories of God's glory. It is in this way and this way only that our client nation can avoid its own 21st century Ichabod and refresh the colors of the national portrait for the next generation. In the meantime, we can be comforted by the promise of Psalm 33:10. The Lord frustrates the plans of nations and neutralizes the conspiracy of people. O God, frustrate the plans of Ahithophel. Ahithophel was actually the brains behind the Absalom revolution. Absalom was fomenting a revolution against his father David's reign. And Ahithophel was in David's cabinet. And when David realized that, when he realized Ahithophel had betrayed him and had gone with his son Absalom in the revolution, oh God, frustrate the plans of Ahithophel. And did he ever? David was the man for the throne of Israel, not Absalom. Absalom was the crown prince only because he murdered his brother Amnon. Amnon was a loser. Good to get rid of him. But not in that fashion. Lord would have taken care of it some way. So Absalom murdered his brother, and then he becomes the crown prince. David was one big stud muffin. He was brilliant. He was a military tactician. He was a musical genius. He knew how to run an economy. He knew how to be king and run a country. He was a ladies' man, too. That got him in a lot of trouble. Nevertheless, he was the man that God picked to run the show. And Absalom looked at his father. Absalom was, he was a stud muffin too. He had all this long sweeping hair. He was puffed up. The ladies, he caught the ladies' eye. That, he liked that part. But he also caught the eye of the throne and thought, maybe I ought to be sitting there. And so, what happened? The plans of Ahithophel were frustrated. There was a mole called Hushai. And Hushai went in there and frustrated those plans. The Lord frustrates the plans of nations and neutralizes the conspiracy of people. And when it was over, Absalom was hanging by his hair from a tree. And that was that. And David marched right back into Jerusalem and sat on his throne. The glory was restored to Israel in essence on that occasion. There was a threat to it, but it was suppressed. The Lord frustrates the plans of nations and neutralizes the conspiracy of people. Who would be the nations whose plans need to be frustrated? Well, who knows? Terrorists don't have a nation. They don't have a uniform. They don't have ranks. They fight in the corners, the crevices, and the darkness. Who are the people whose conspiracy needs to be neutralized? Well, that's in this country. That's here. And Jesus Christ will take care of all of these people if you do your duty. And when I taught prep school at Baraka, I wrote a song that we often sang in assembly, which I named Client Nation Arise. Its message challenges the believer to make Bible study priority one in his life. And this challenge was offered to sixth graders. How old is a sixth grader? Like 12? Something like that. It's been a long time since I was 12 or in the sixth grade, which is not necessarily the same. They're among those who should be, get this, those children of that day are among those who should be carrying the colors of doctrine and silent preservation of this client nation, there was not a generation that received more intensive insight and training in the Word of God than that group of young people at Baraka Prep School in the 1970s and 80s. They're the ones that ought to be carrying the colors today. And whether or not all are doing their duty, I don't know. But I am certain that some are, for I'm aware of several who have continued to make the advance. It is imperative that members of this congregation respond to its clarion call and also inculcate its principles into their children's souls. Now, the music is from a march entitled Up the Street by Robert G. Morse. And the lyric reads like this. O client nation, arise today. Seek Bible doctrine without delay. It is the key to prosperity and deliverance from the fray. The imputations of God unfurl, our grace support in the devil's world. And history tells God's severity to those harming his priceless pearl. We are a mighty throng. We form the pivot strong. And thus Jesus Christ controls history, the God of integrity, preserving our liberty. We'll fight to save our land. Stand fast is God's command. And this our rationale shall be. Through military victory is how the Lord keeps us free. A client nation to God implores its sons to arm and prepare with swords. Yet humble warriors by faith recall that the battle is still the Lord's. And when the conflict is o'er and won, the foe is vanquished and on the run, we'll then assemble here, one and all, and give credit to God the Son. A wall of fire surrounds where'er the word abounds. You guard the truth guards you. The justice of God imputes maturity's righteous fruits. And with our homes secure, we'll pause, you can be sure, and lift a cup of kindness to the Lord of the armies true, and to the red, white, and blue. So client nation, arise and sing to Jesus Christ, our Lord and King. All who are free, let your voices swell in hosannas of thanksgiving. For he has won us the victory. We'll reign with him in eternity. Hail Jesus Christ, God of Israel and of the royal family. I've added an addendum to our study that you did not have in your original notes, but which I sent out last night. And that addendum is going to take up the subject of constitutional filters. The reason that I've added this paragraph is that some of you have come to me inquiring about the importance of the Electoral College that we have in our country. And recently, in every 4 years, we'll see the Electoral College function. And often it is wondered why we have it. And some express frustration of its incorporation into the Constitution, believing that we should elect presidents and vice presidents by popular vote. Well, that's not what's in the Constitution, and there are very good reasons for that. And there is a movement underway to change that, and would take a constitutional amendment to do so. And that would be ratification by 3/4 of the states, which would mean 38 out of 50. So very hard to get an amendment passed, and that one might be difficult to do. But nevertheless, there is a misunderstanding of the importance of the Electoral College, and I thought that I would use this opportunity in this Veterans Day study to take up that subject, and we will do that in the second session, and we'll pause now about 5 minutes early, and that's good. We'll take 20 minutes for our break and come back, and those that are here, and I think I see at least a couple, We're going to have graduate Bibles handed out right before prayer meeting. So let's break for tea and crumpets, and I'll see you back here at about 1:45.